fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It is Friday, October 10th, 2025. It's 10-10, baby. 10-10.
10-10. It is the dating anniversary of Tommy and I.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So.
Congrats.
You know, and then our anniversary this year is going to be our 10th year anniversary.
I love it.
What is the 10 year?
I was wondering, what is it? Steel. No, I'm just kidding.
Fire.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been forged in fire. Now yeah. Here it is.
You have to create your own gold.
Yeah. I feel like it's just all the elements and we have to figure it out.
You're like Captain Planet, but the gold is your relationship after 10 wonderful years together.
I think 25 is gold, isn't it? For real? Oh, or 20 maybe? Or maybe so. 50. I don't know. Something becomes a diamond. Just
you hold
like
it.
Me.
Hold it tight enough.
I thrive in stress and pressure.
And I become a diamond. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this freakiest of Fridays. We're well in the swing of spooky season and we're well in the swing of the season of the witch. So if you have not checked out our live show in Dallas on Keysway, you can go and stream it now on demand. Thanks to everybody who's watched it. Thanks for all the shout outs so far, the people commenting how much they loved it and all the wonderful feedback we've gotten. It was a good time.
It was a super fun show, and you get to watch through Halloween, which seems very appropriate. T-shirt orders. Now, if you want the T-shirt order, which is, as I was trying to go to sleep last night, it occurred to me we did not keep any out for ourselves.
No, we did not. So we're going to have to make a phone call to the merch.
We got to, because I was like, I want one of those.
Me too. I'm going to have to order it myself off the website.
So I'm also going to be ordering my own T-shirt by this Sunday, 11:59 Central.
I think so. Well, just don't.
Maybe
don't
operate on Eastern just to, to be sure. Well, no, they're in Texas. So I feel like 11:59 Central is probably right.
Yeah, get it in by October 12th, your shirt orders, and then the window is closed and you will not be able to get your coven tea. So go to sinisterhead.com/live shows. There's t-shirt links. There's links to the Keysway stream on there. And let us know what you thought, what the fact that you learned, something that you've been telling people about. It was a lot of stuff to cram into our heads. And then now it pops up. Like I see a cute clip art witch with a broomstick and I'm like, interesting.
Well,
how adorable.
What did you slather all over that handle, m'lady?
... So we can't wait. But today you have gotten us quite a lineup. Thanks to everybody that wrote in. We have a couple of repeat submitters today as well.
Yes.
Of the repeat submitters, this first one has our first submitter today has sent a previous story in as well.
And what a one to kick us off with. So I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. Content warning, this first one does discuss Parricide. It's sent in by Della and is called Further Tales of Local Parricide. Della writes, "Hi ladies, it's me again. I submitted the story last fall about Porco, Freaky Friday 131, the guy that murdered his parents with an axe. At that time, I was a relatively new mom. My daughter is now nearly 2, just a couple weeks to go. And each morning on my way to work, I drive her to daycare. We chose the location primarily because of it being one of the leading child care centers in the area, but also its proximity to my mother-in-law. If there were ever an emergency, she would be right down the road. Earlier this week, I drove my daughter to school as usual, and after drop-off, zoned out as I pulled onto the main road. Dotted with churches, temples, and schools, the street has a painfully low speed limit, and new cameras, of which I have already been a victim, that document and automatically send tickets to anyone caught moving faster than 20 miles an hour. Never would I have imagined during the rest of my dreary drive that a 3-minute bike ride away from where I had just left my toddler, an excavation team was preparing to dig up a neighboring backyard in search of human remains. The news broke slowly throughout the day. how an elderly couple had gone missing nearly a decade ago and were now at the center of a financial crimes investigation involving their son. Sound familiar? In February of 2020, before the coronavirus lockdowns began, a distant relative of Franz and Tricia Cross, who would be 92 and 83 today, contacted the police and requested a welfare check. When the police could not make contact with the couple and a neighbor explained that they had moved to Germany, officers had no reason to be suspicious. Once lockdowns began, it is reasonable to assume that you might not see people out and about, particularly the high-risk elderly. But it seems to me alarm bells should have been ringing long before 2025. I, an anxious person, would have worried that they perished in the pandemic and nobody noticed. How could this have happened? Enter Lorenz Kraus, the couple's son and focus of a financial crimes investigation related to the use of his parents' bank accounts. The couple continued to receive direct deposit Social Security checks, despite federal officials having been unable to reach either of the recipients for several years. Neighbors said their son kept up with the house and lived in the area. Earlier this year, in May, investigators from SSA contacted local police, which prompted a search of the Cross's property. After an initial search of the couple's basement, in search of signs of foul play or human remains, a crew began sifting through soil at the property with shovels, hand tools, and ultimately an excavator. The district attorney in this story is a familiar character. He was the defense attorney for Porco in my previous submission. He was present at the excavation and offered limited remarks to reporters. I collected my daughter from daycare that afternoon with a heavy heart as our usual route took us past the side streets that would have led to the home where those poor people had lived together for 40 years. The same day the excavation work began, probably as I was on my way home, the team unearthed the first evidence of human remains. This kicked off a flurry of armchair investigation into Lorenz Kraus, who appeared on a 2020 presidential ballot in New Hampshire. He ran as a Democrat, and his social and campaign media were littered with unhinged and anti-Semitic messaging. When asked what it would take to beat President Trump, Kraus responded, "Be a true nationalist." This guy has an MBA from the same esteemed university my husband graduated from. I'm hoping they never cross paths as alumni. On Thursday morning, investigators unearthed the second set of human remains. If this isn't enough to make you suspicious, have a seat. By Thursday afternoon, Kraus had driven to a local TV station and admitted to killing his parents. He was then arrested in the parking lot. In his exclusive interview, Kraus explained that he had smothered his aging parents because they were in poor health and he was concerned for their misery. He expressed his beliefs that he did the right thing for them. He sent statements and screeds to multiple news outlets and radio stations that neglected to mention his parents and instead focused on his plan to replace federal and state government with a board of trustees and to request that he be prosecuted under German law. What? I personally did not watch the interview, but will link it below. Something about watching and listening to the killers gives me the creeps. I don't know if it's that I hate to give space to their words, to let them reach me in such an intimate way, or what, but I can't stand it in the same way I can't bear to listen to recordings of 911 calls. Anyway, that's my brush with true crime for today. Hopefully, I won't be back with a new one next year. Yours, Della. Oh, Lordy. I totally get it, Della, of not wanting to watch interviews. Like, interviews from prison with people on death row and stuff, or just when they're so plainly and bluntly describing their crimes, it's beyond unnerving and can really stick with you in an unsettling way. Same with 911 calls. You're hearing people in their most desperate moments pleading for help. So, you know, there are so many of those I can't listen to either, and I totally get it. This is just wild, and I get why you didn't watch the interview. I watched part of it, and it's bananas how calm he is. He turned himself in, and then he wanted to send like his manifesto and stuff to the news stations. And they were like, well, we'll give you an interview if you just come down here. And he was like, bet. And he just showed up.
Be right there.
And the journalist was like, one reason the interview went kind of like as seamlessly and honest as it did is because they didn't have time to prepare. It was just a very like in the moment, like, so did you poison them? And he was like, no. And the interviewer said, did you suffocate them? And he just said, yeah. And then went on a rant about how boomers are just aging and how basically we would be doing all of them a favor if when they get to that point, we just euthanize them. And I mean, given the fact that he also ran on a very strange ticket with all over the place ideologies politically, it's as your mother would say, an odd duck.
It seems like they're, he seems to have a grasp, which is the legal question of the difference between right or wrong, because he's tried to hide evidence of his crime. You know, he knew that he wanted to get his manifesto out before he was arrested in the TV station parking lot and made comments of, well, I have to preserve my Fifth Amendment rights right before he just opens his mouth and confesses on a camera and microphone with a professional reporter. So there's definitely a... He's got no sense, it sounds like. You know, he's got like a lack of sense, but it seems like he's at least got a grasp of reality to know that that's... He didn't say, well, I just put them in a chamber to make them comfortable. It's like, I put a pillow over their face and suffocated them, and then I didn't tell anyone because I knew I'd go to jail. It's like, well, that's the legal standard for murder. So the weird, you know, his attorneys might try to use some of those things. And I think if he does have any sort of issues with his mental faculties, you know, make sure he gets a fair trial. But
sure,
him walking into the police station and being like, I would like to be heard, is just a person with bad judgment, not a person that does not have a grip on reality. So I hope he is punished to the extent of the full extent of the law, which would include, it sounds like, federal financial crimes.
Yeah. He also said he believed he was doing the right thing and still believes he did the right thing because they were aging, their health was failing, and he essentially put them out of their misery. Now, you know, do you then bury them in the backyard and collect their Social Security checks for 8 years? And you live in the neighborhood, you go and mow the grass and take care of the very house where you know you have buried your parents in the backyard.
And you tell the neighbors, oh, no, they moved away. They moved, to Germany. They're just out of town. No, that's very chilling and very insidious to think that he could just do that. And again, I think it cuts against the, well, I thought I was doing them a favor. I noticed that there was mention of some sort of do not resuscitate order, and that does not at all give someone the right to just outright kill anybody. I'm not sure that anyone else thought that. And I don't even know that he thought that, other than probably just more ways to soothe himself in the aftermath.
Justify. Yeah, for sure.
Man, Della, this is it's a heavy thing to be driving past.
Oh, yeah. Especially you're like next to the daycare. That's not to scare the shit out of everyone, but you truly don't know who you're living next to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just the capacity that people have like that. You're like, oh, a doting son. Not quite. Man.
Again, that ripple of like communal trauma of even the neighbors that live next door that, you know, for years were like, oh, we just thought they moved to another country. Yeah. Little did you know, like yards from your front door, they're buried, you know, and then you have, that's a total mind fuck that you got to unpack.
Mm-hmm. And then you feel like, oh, I could have done more. It's of course nobody's fault but his, but definitely more than just the related family members are all going to have to grapple with this.
Well, I agree, Della. I hope you don't have another parasite story that you have to send in, because those are some of the harder stories for me to think about. That, and I mean, familicide or anything like that, because of all the people in the world that you're supposed to feel safe with, it's your own family. Well, thank you for sharing that with us.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. IQ Bar is the better-for-you plant protein-based snacks made with brain-boosting nutrients to refuel, nourish, and satisfy hunger without the sugar crash.
If you want to try everything IQ Bar makes, the ultimate sampler pack is the way to go. It includes 9 IQ Bars, 8 IQ Mix Sticks, and 4 IQ Joe Sticks. All their products are gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, and made without GMOs or artificial sweeteners. The bars are packed with clean plant protein, fiber, and brain-boosting ingredients like magnesium, lion's mane, and adaptogens. IQ Mix helps with hydration and focus, while IQ Joe delivers smooth, jitter-free energy with 200 milligrams of natural caffeine and flavors better than any drip coffee.
With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ bars, brain and body boosting bars, hydration mixes, and mushroom coffees. Their ultimate sampler pack includes all 3. Get them all. They're all so great. I can't speak highly enough of these IQ bars. All the flavors are delicious. All the IQ mixes are delicious.
Raspberry lemonade. I'll chug that stuff.
That's my favorite.
Gone.
And the kids like it. Like they're so easy to
fruit.
Take with you. Both the mixes and the bars. Just throw them in. It's couldn't be easier.
No, right? And right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, including the sampler pack, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text CREEPY to 64000. Text CREEPY to 64000. That's CREEPY to 64000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details.
Text CREEPY to 64000 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Message and data rates may apply. This next one is from Rebecca and is called 3 Incidents in 4 Days. Hi, Christy and Heather. I'm a longtime listener from Texas, but I lived in Toronto, Canada for a number of years now. While there are many things I miss about Texas, queso, sweet tea, southern hospitality, I keep finding myself delaying my move back. There's something about having actual seasons that I just can't imagine leaving right now. Hearing y'all's familiar accents and your stories about home have been exactly what I need to battle my constant homesickness. I've meant to write in a number of times, like when a stalker was arrested at the classical music venue where I work, but this series of events was just so shocking that I finally had to sit down and send something in. I live on the top floor of a high-rise building in a quiet residential area. There are a handful of other high-rises nearby, and I can see a couple of them from my balcony. One of them, though, seems a bit less savory than the rest. Since my husband and I moved in this past May, we've noticed that police cars, fire trucks, or ambulances show up there almost every single day. Usually they leave pretty quickly, so we assumed it was just routine false alarms or minor incidents. But a few weeks ago, 3 major incidents happened there within 4 days, and things started to feel a little too close to home. On the first day, Friday, September 5th, the largest number of police cars I've ever seen came racing up, lights and sirens blazing. Shortly after, multiple news trucks and ambulances arrived, and the entire street was blocked off with police tape. We couldn't tell what was going on, but this was clearly not the usual false alarm we were used to. It turned out that a woman had been found in a parked car outside the building with severe injuries. She was transported to the local hospital, but later succumbed to her wounds. Police immediately treated it as a homicide. The victim was 21-year-old Serenity Brown. A few days later, police arrested a 48-year-old man for her murder. While the relationship between them wasn't made clear, it was reported that they were, quote, known to each other. Not much has been released about this incident, but it's so tragic and heartbreaking to think about someone so young losing her life that way. 2 days later, on Sunday, September 7th, we had the balcony door open and heard the now familiar sirens again. While we normally just ignored the noise, after Friday's chaos, we went to see if anything was happening. At first, I didn't notice anything, but my mom, who was visiting for the week, pointed out that there was a dumpster on fire in front of the same building, a literal dumpster fire. The firefighters arrived and quickly put it out, and things calmed down again. The crime scene tape from Friday had already been removed. By that evening, everything looked deceptively normal. Then on Monday morning, the very next day, my mom and I were getting ready to head to the airport for her flight home when we began smelling smoke. We joined my cat on the balcony, her favorite spot, and noticed she was staring intently toward that same building. That's when we saw it. The building was on fire. Within minutes, more than 10 fire trucks arrived. We were shocked to see residents, some with young children, standing on their balconies just watching the flames. We're talking toddlers looking out at the fire from the same floor as the blaze, maybe two units away. People on the ground were yelling for the residents to evacuate, but hardly anyone moved. Luckily, the fire was contained to a single unit and no one was hurt. Both this fire and the dumpster fire were later ruled accidental and not related to each other or to the homicide. On the way to the airport, my mom and I couldn't stop talking about what we had witnessed over the last few days. We realized how easy it must be to get complacent when you live in a building where police cars and fire trucks are a daily sight. You get so used to false alarms that you might not even take a real one seriously, even when the building is literally burning beside you. Ever since that week, I can't help but glance out at that building every time I hear a siren. There are still the near daily visits from law enforcement and first responders, but after these three events, I don't think I'll ever assume it's just another false alarm again. I unfortunately had to miss the live stream of your Season of the Witch show on Saturday, but that's because I was getting married. However, I plan to watch the recording as soon as I finish unpacking and settling back into normal life. Our wedding was everything I had dreamed it would be, complete with barbecue, queso, sweet tea, and my cat, Nikki, who walked down the aisle on her leash as the flower girl. I've attached some photos and news articles from the incidents in my story, as well as a couple shots from the wedding as a bit of a palate cleanser. Thanks for reading this. I cannot stress how comforting it is to have y'all in my headphones twice a week, especially when I'm missing home. Okay, that's all for now. Love y'all, Rebecca.
Well, congratulations, Rebecca.
This looks like a beautiful wedding. And my Nikki
is a bell. I mean,
Rebecca, you look gorgeous, but Nikki kind of stole the show here.
Nikki's little dress is fantastic.
I am obsessed.
Of just Nikki in her dress because she is an icon. Really, she's the moment.
Honestly, Rebecca, your dress, also you iconic. Your hair, impeccable, gorgeous. Your husband, love the kill. Everything about this, I love. Wherever y'all got married is gorgeous.
Looks perfect.
Beautiful, beautiful wedding.
Definitely take time to chill and unpack because that is a lot of events to happen right outside of your house, like a month before you get married too.
Yes.
Like, let us not forget, this was only a few days ago. I looked at the picture you sent of the literal dumpster fire, and
That's
exactly what it is. You're like, oh, look, a metaphor.
Oh, look, that's the United States right here in Toronto.
You feel like you felt homesick, and you're like, look, Texas.
Oh, Texas is right there. It's never been closer. Yes, and you sent a picture of the apartment on fire. You
crazy.
Can see the flames coming out, and then people just kind of hanging out.
Like, what's going on in there?
Yeah, I think you really kind of nailed it. When you hear stuff every day, you do become complacent and you're kind of like, well, I mean, we hear it every day. So you kind of almost like tune it out. But when you're on your balcony and two units down, the place is on fire and people are screaming to evacuate from the ground, go ahead and do that, you know, just get out of there.
They're like, it's 20 stories. And what is this? This is on the fifth, sixth floor. I'm on 18 on the other side of the building. Fuck it. They'll figure it out. It's like, you trust in Toronto's bravest
to come and put
that fire out.
Truly.
But looks like they got them under control. So, man, you've got the front row seat though. Say hello to Toronto for us, the city we both love.
I just, even though this building is on fire, I still would so rather nice be the there background. Than here right now.
I'd rather be putting out that dumpster fire. Oh, man. Well, enjoy. Congratulations on your nuptials as well.
Oh, yes. And congratulations, Nikki, on being just the cutest little flower kitty I've ever seen. I imagine this was a custom gown. And
Looks like it.
Whoever made this, 10 out of 10.
Put her on the cover of Vogue. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Well, if you've got kids like we do, you know how meal routines are a grind because you can't just have mac and cheese every night for dinner, as much as my children would love that. And it's also such a beating as parents to be like, or anyone, like, what are we having tonight for dinner? Like, I wish someone else would just figure it out for me.
NurtureLife is a meal delivery service that makes it simple to serve your kids healthy, delicious food without the hassle. With over 50 fresh, nutritionally balanced options to choose from, ranging from toddler finger foods to big kid favorites like spaghetti and meatballs, there's something for every age and taste. Meals are fully cooked, allergy-friendly, and arrive at your door in refrigerated packaging, ready to heat in just 1 minute. It's the top-rated service for feeding kids 10 months to 10 years old with real food that fits busy schedules.
My kids get home from school. They are famished. They don't want to wait around for a snack. Mm-hmm. So being able to pop something in the microwave that's ready to go within 1 minute and it's warm and filling is a game changer.
Head to NurtureLife.com/creepy and use code creepy for 55% off your first order plus free shipping. That's right, 55% off plus free shipping. Once again, that's NurtureLife.com/creepy and make sure you use our promo code creepy.
Well, this next one is from Doug and it's called, "Was I Abducted Again?" G'day from an Aussie fan. I'm an interstate truck driver and I love listening to your awesome podcast to help pass the time. I have multiple stories to tell, from ghostly encounters to astral projection to a tear in space-time. But the one I'm sharing today is my personal UFO encounter. Let's travel back to 1991 in Melbourne, Australia. I was 11 years old and spending the night at a friend's house for his birthday sleepover. There was a whole group of kids, most of which I didn't really know. It was around midnight, and we were all in his front garden for a late-night lolly hunt. I know, weird idea. Everyone had eyes down, hunting through the garden to find the lollies, but something caught my eye above. Standing alone on the lawn, I looked up, and I saw a bright light. It was perfectly still in the sky. Then it zipped to a different position as fast as lightning and coming to a complete and instant stop. It continued to zip and zag all around the sky before my eyes, sometimes further, sometimes a lot closer, close enough for me to clearly see its shape and every detail. It was a classic UFO shape, round, domed, a domed, quote, cockpit on top. Below was a round section protruding downward slightly. A white light came from the base like a glowing fog, and there were round lights evenly spaced around the main body, similar to portholes. It was not a plane. Helicopters cannot move like this, and drones did not exist yet. I saw my friend, the birthday boy, was close, so I called his name. He looked at me and then saw what had my attention. We watched it zipping and hovering for what felt like many minutes. Eventually, it flew away faster than lightning and was gone. We looked at each other in confused amazement and returned to the other kids to hunt for lollies. At school, we talked to each other about what we'd seen. We had no doubt what it was. I told my parents about it. Dad instantly believed me. Mom did not. She tried to test my friend and I. When he visited on the weekend, she separated us and asked us to draw what we saw. Needless to say, we both drew the exact same thing. Still, she wasn't convinced. Shortly after this sighting, I found something. An object was under my skin. It was the shape and approximate size of a capsule, like you'd swallow. It would move, sometimes around the left side of my chest, sometimes near my collarbone or neck. I could pinch and feel it through my skin. It was perfectly smooth and hard as steel. Nobody, including my parents, were concerned with it. But I was. It bothered me. Eventually, as a young adult, I realized it was no longer there. I never had it removed. I had no memories of it being removed. Weird, I know. My encounter has never left me. I think about it constantly. It's a part of me now. Now back to present day. I recently had a strange dream or night terror. I always have weird dreams, and I always remember them in detail. This one was different. I was sleeping at home with my partner in our upstairs bedroom. I woke up in a terrified panic. I could only remember the very end of the, quote, dream. I was in bed and there were multiple gray aliens in the room looking at me. Then I woke up. They were gone, but I had that intense gut feeling I wasn't alone. I was too scared to get up and look around. It was too real. It didn't have the fog of other dreams. It was just too real. Why couldn't I remember the rest of the dream? Had I just been returned to my bed and caught a glimpse of them as they were leaving? Had they put the capsule in me and returned another time to remove it? How many times have I been visited that I aren't aware of? Honestly, it all scares me, but also intrigues me. I want to know more. I want them to be honest with me. I want to meet them again and remember it. People don't tend to believe me, but I don't care. It's just a part of my life and what makes me, me. Keep up the awesome work with the podcast, ladies, and keep it creepy.
Damn, Doug. Well, I believe you. That's fucking crazy.
Dude.
You're out on a lolly hunt and you just like, I mean, it's happening. It's the UFO that we've all thought of, saw, we were going to see.
I don't know how one isn't concerned when a steel capsule shows up under your child's body and is just moving around. And then all of a sudden it's just gone.
Right. Anything, even if it's not steel, any sort of a little lumpy type of thing, yeah. I think I might want to scan it, maybe like look a little bit more into it with whatever we have. Although it was the early 90s. So things were a little bit like, it'll probably go away.
It's back fine. Then. Whatever. So, it's just, did you swallow a pill wrong? It probably just got stuck in your chest.
It got loose. It got loose out of you. You coughed the wrong way and the pill shot out of your throat. Yeah, that would be definitely something I would be worried about because why is it there? What's it for? I wonder if other people who have had certain types of experiences, whether it is out in the open, kind of like Doug, similar to, you know, the kids we saw in the aerial school incident, mm-hmm. where they're just out and it just flies at you versus where your first incident is you're in your house in your bed. But it nevertheless, if any abductees have gotten these like nodes, some type of little
lump. I feel like we had another Freaky Friday with somebody that experienced that.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. It also, I also read books on people who have UFO exposure. It's like one of those where it's like, it's floating in there, but I encourage Doug.
You're not the first one, yeah. Doug, that has said that they have found that after they believe they've had an encounter or been abducted.
Look into Dr. John Mack. He's the one that talked with the aerial school UFO children, but then also later in his career talked to just other people who had encounters. And it might give you a little bit of solace to know that not only were people believed and listened to, but by a pretty renowned, until he was attacked by the detractors, pretty renowned psychologist.
Yeah. Yes. Gosh. I also, Doug, would feel the same way of scared, also intrigued. Like, right. Don't knock me out to do well, or maybe, maybe do, because maybe I don't want to be around for it. But why don't you give me a tour of the ship and just like take me out to dinner before you insert a steel capsule in me?
I'm ready for a Kate McKinnon. Like, they were batting my knockers and the way they were checking the door, I don't think it was policy. Like, I'm fine with it. I'll pee in a little bowl. They all stood around and watched me. Then I end up with my cuckoo out and my poop chute showing on top of a Waffle House. I'm ready for that life, aliens. I'm ready. Take me. Take me.
I'm ready. If you already have visited me multiple times, I feel like it's not a fair relationship because you know so much about me and I know very little about you. So at least in the like not terrifying parts, wake me up and just be like, this is what's going on. We're going to put you off for the rest of it so we don't completely traumatize you. But we know that you had some questions. We're going to answer. You get three questions.
Ooh,
so Doug, choose wisely.
It's so stressful though. If it's like,
and then
you're
like,
you?
Oh, what do I ask? Oh shit.
Ding.
Oh fuck.
But then
what do I ask? Oh my God, I'm down to one.
Can I have some ice cream? Oh shit. And then you wake up and they're like, no, damn it. Oh yeah. Let us know if you made contact for real. Cause I think, that's going to be the next step in our human evolution. I think is people figuring out telepathy, contact with interdimensional or alien being, something like that. And who knows, is 3-Eye Atlas
people?
Yeah, AI. I think maybe all of us. And then we're all one, baby.
Yeah, I feel like if AI hasn't already made contact, then we're just seconds away. According to Sam Altman, we're all cooked, everybody.
Yeah, if anyone builds it, everyone dies. Great book to listen to while you're just like on a nice calming bike ride. It's just, I'm like, cool, Eliezer Yudkowsky, tell me more about how we're all fucked.
Or that interview I saw with Sam Altman, and he's like, well, there's really three ways this could go. One, they all kill us because, you know, they get too smart. Two, they kind of just become part of our everyday lives and we don't want to have to rely on them, but we do. Are we already there? And then the third, which people are like, we're already at that point where people can't make decisions without consulting their ChatGPT first. And they've just become too integrated in people's lives in a very unhealthy and dangerous way.
Between that and the AI psychosis, I think we're headed towards some real dangers for a largely unregulated industry that the Yudkowsky, like the TLDR of that book, if you don't want to go read it, is just it. Something this nebulous and unpredictable needs to be developed in a closed laboratory environment. And the worst thing would be to give everybody unfettered access to it. But the only thing that they've done is give like everyone unfettered access to it. Yeah. So they're like, well, if everyone just stopped that and just agreed, like, we're only going to develop it in safe ways. But the concern is that and for an adversary and who that means to you depends on literally where your feet are planted is going to develop it first. And he's like, rush, rush, rush. So maybe we'll all touch the sky sooner than later, Doug, and we'll all be there with
maybe.
You. Maybe.
We'll meet your friends. Well, thank you for sending that in. And please keep us posted if you have any more encounters. And fuck the haters. We believe you.
Hell yeah. And if anybody else is out there has had a similar instance, especially if you're in Australia, write in so that Doug may know he's not alone.
Lollipops?
I think so.
Okay. So is maybe that's the thing you do is have like what would might be an Easter egg hunt, but it's a lolly hunt.
I typed in Australian lolly hunt and nothing filthy came up on the internet. So it does sound like it is a legitimate thing. It says 90s nostalgia. I don't know. So I guess.
Oh, fun.
Maybe you do a little candy hunt.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. I like a lolly
it's
hunt.
It's different than saying, do you want to come to my house and play hide the lolly?
Also, complete side note. But I love that people in other countries refer to their yards as gardens. I just think it sounds fancy and fun.
It does. It's like, come out with me to the garden.
Yes. Oh, we're just going to have tea in the back garden.
In the garden.
Like, damn, we just call ours yards.
Come out to the yard. I dug up something. I got me a piece of metal I found in the yard. It's like, that's the kind of
backyard
thing.
Or front yard? Hey,
we got a side yard, too.
Yeah, we do.
Rabbits are.
We got a dog run, too. Oh, man.
Good
America.
Times. Good time. Yeah. Sinister Hood will be right back. If your dog could talk, they would warn you about what's lurking in their bowl. Mass-produced kibble isn't just unappetizing. It could be a crime against canine health. Mysterious byproducts, unpronounceable preservatives, and who knows what fillers sounds more like evidence from a crime scene than dinner.
Ollie is here to crack the case on pet nutrition with fresh, human-grade meals made with the highest quality ingredients. No mystery meats, no artificial junk, just real, minimally processed food made in U.S. kitchens. It's the kind of clean eating that keeps tails wagging and nose sniffing for more.
How it works. First, fill out Ollie's 30-second quiz, and they'll create a customized meal plan based on your pup's weight, activity level, and other health info. Then get expert recommendations. Ollie crunches the numbers and recommends the right recipes and daily portions for your precious pup based on hundreds of thousands of real dog results. Then get your welcome kit. Ollie will send out your pup's first box with 2 weeks worth of meals and a guide of how to gradually switch them over to their new diet. Finally, customize your plan. Ollie offers 3 meal plans to choose from, so you can choose between a full fresh plan, fresh topper plan, or a mixed plan with their freshly baked recipes for your special fur baby. They also have treats and supplements, and Ollie is the only fresh dog food that comes with unlimited routine health screening so you can get your pup on track to living their healthiest, happiest life. Buff and the Goose will fight over Ollie treats, Ollie food, Ollie snacks. Kate's a fan too, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Kate's a fan, loves the treats, love the food. I love the pup tainer. Mm-hmm. Again, the other night, Petal tried to get to it, and it's indestructible. I mean, it seems like it's just made out of, you know, regular materials, but she's... Kudos to whoever put that thing together because it's pig-proof.
Yeah, say it can survive a petal attack. Dogs deserve the best, and that means fresh, healthy food. Head to ollie.com/creepy and tell them all about your dog and use code creepy to get 60% off your welcome kit when you subscribe today.
Plus, they offer a happiness guarantee on the first box, so if you're not completely satisfied, you'll get your money back. That's OLLIE.com/creepy and enter code creepy to get 60% off your first box.
Well, this next one is from Anonymous, my child, who uses they, them pronouns, and the subject line is haunted house story. Hello, I'm from a small town, and my family still lives in the area, so I'll just be your long-lost child, Anonymous. I just want to say, your show is truly a bright spot in the world. You're so hilarious, and I respect the hell out of you for speaking the truth and not being apolitical on your show. The Freaky Friday stories are my favorite, and I've been meaning to write to you with my creepy story. But I have a tiny human who never sleeps, so it's taken me forever to write this. My family has had a very stressful year, including my partner being unfairly fired so their boss could hire her friend instead, and two moves with two children under five. But it's been fun to write this and think about what my worries used to be as a teen in a haunted house. Over 15 years ago, when I was 16 and my sibling was 13, our parents got divorced, and our dad moved into a small rental house not far from the house in the country we had grown up in. Our mom moved into the nearby small town where we went to school, and we split time between their two places. Luckily, we were always together, or I would have straight up refused to stay overnight at my dad's new, very haunted house. Even as teenagers, we were actually very happy to share a room while at our dad's because that place was terrifying. I'd always been interested in the paranormal and kind of believed in ghosts and loved hearing other people's stories, but I had never had a firsthand experience until we moved into this place. As some background, the father of the person my dad rented from had died in the house a few months before we moved in. He was older and I think just had some health problems and died essentially of old age, so nothing too spooky. But almost 100 years before, in 1922, three siblings in their 60s who lived together in the house had been murdered. It's actually still considered the oldest unsolved murder in the county. Julius and Mary Balzer were found dead on the property, and their older brother William died the next day from the attack. They had all been beaten to death, potentially with a hammer, in and around the property. Mary was found by a neighbor in a ditch by the mailbox when he went out to get his mail. It looked like she had tried to run away. It was rumored that the siblings kept large sums of money in the house, so it was suspected to be a robbery. But to this day, no one really knows who killed these people or why they did it. I can't remember who thought it was a good idea to tell my sibling and I about this horrific murder that happened in the house we were now living in the midst of our parents' divorce, no less. But we were definitely creeped out the first night we stayed there. We were sleeping in the living room with me on the couch and my sibling on a recliner because we hadn't moved our beds in yet. We were, of course, jumping at every noise in the old house. Soon after we fell asleep, we were awakened by the large standing lamp falling down and the glass bulb shattering. Neither of us were sleeping near it, so we couldn't have kicked it over, and we still have no idea how it happened. There are so many stories I could share, but I'll just mention a few here. Throughout our time in the house, we experienced dried, reddish, brown dripping stains inexplicably appearing on the inside of the front door and on furniture in the living room. Tons of weird banging noises in the walls, especially at night. My dad woke up in the middle of the night once because he heard someone shout his name. He's deaf in one ear and he sleeps on the other side. We can never wake him up, even when we're trying to, so it's honestly wild that he would have heard this ghost at all. He was the only one home when it happened, so I guess he just went back to sleep? Truly wild dad shit. Once I heard a dining room chair flip backwards onto the floor when I was the only one home. It was right behind me, but I didn't see it happen. I just looked around at the loud sound and saw it on the floor. I left right away and tried never to be there alone again. My dad heard whistling in the kitchen behind him when he was doing dishes, but as soon as he turned around to see what it was, it stopped. But the thing that scares me the most to this day is when my sibling saw a physical apparition in the house, right behind me. We were in our room and they were sitting on their bed and I was standing in front of them. We were talking about something and all of a sudden they just stopped answering me and started staring at something behind me. I was annoyed and thought they were just ignoring me, so I said their name several times and got no response. Then they looked at me and looked back behind me and started talking again really fast. Apparently, as soon as they looked at me and looked back, what they saw disappeared. They said they saw a woman in old-timey clothes, but could see right through her. She came through the doorway behind me and just hung in the air for a moment before disappearing. And then we slept there that night. Lastly, There was a time my friend Jordan and I went to the nearby county cemetery to see if we could find the graves of the people who had died in the house. Being the creepy teens that we were, the snow the night before didn't deter us. We drove a couple miles down the road to this little cemetery that's surrounded by cornfields and is no longer in use. Because it had just snowed, we were going to have to brush snow off graves to be able to read the names on them. We walked to the middle of the cemetery and picked one at random as a place to start. Under the snow, it said Balzer. We had found their graves on the first try. It felt so eerie and seemed too unlikely to be just a coincidence. The cemetery was small, maybe the size of half of a city block, and there were still at least 100 graves to choose from, and we walked directly to theirs. My dad still lives in the house to this day, but I only visit him during the day. I guess he's cool with the ghost because he believes us about what we've experienced, but never seems alarmed. Honestly, the moment someone was yelling my name in the middle of the night, I would have been out of there if I was the adult in the situation.
Yeah, same. Yeah, same, 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 same. Sure, I would have also been out of there if I was just standing there and a chair flipped over behind me.
Seriously, you did
what we're all yelling at people to do in the movies, which is 100%. Get the fuck out. What are you doing? Just hanging around.
For sure. Yeah, that is not the kind of stuff you want to tell two teens like, hey, guys, I know you're moving to this new place. It's kind of tough. Just so you know, there was a very brutal attack in this very spot. Homicide. Almost 100 years ago to this night. And you're just like, no, let me just sleep in this recliner soundly. Yeah. Like, I'll be fine. You're resilient kids. I'll give you that.
Because
both of y'all were just like,
yeah,
all right.
It's like, sorry about your parents. Sorry, too, about the fact that three ghosts haunt the property where you're having to spend the night.
Yeah, unfortunately. Oof. Oh, my goodness. Well, you, like Christy said, I think you did all the things we would do, which is to go, I got to go. Or, well, I'm only here during the daytime because that's when I have to be.
Yeah. But then the chair happened during the daytime.
True.
Didn't it? So.
Yeah, there's some, they're all over the place.
There's something about creepy paranormal stuff in real life or in the movies happening in the daytime that just hits different for me. Because it's almost not supposed to happen in the light.
You think I'm safe because everyone can see, so no sneaky, horrible things will happen. And then, oof, all of a sudden you're just trying to make some food or wash dishes and it's like,
dude. Or like, you're just sitting there and you look over and there's dried, reddish-brown dripping stains that have formed.
It's like, no, please let that be asbestos. Like, I wish so bad that was anything but just blood from the underworld.
Do we have red mold? Hopefully. Yeah, please. Maybe there's a new type of mold we've discovered.
If it's red mold, I can paint over it. But if it's demon's blood, I'm kind of fucked. So,
dude.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Well, that's so funny that your dad's such a dad that he's like, ah, leave me alone. Shut up. And the ghosts are like, he's cool, man. He's just like, he lets us run amok.
And still lives there. So
like what?
Yeah.
It's a good house.
He's a badass.
For sure. It sounds like it. Well, thank you, dear Anonymous, for sharing your time in the haunted house. And I hope, man, two moves with two kids under five is wild, as well as an unexpected job change. And thank you for this, man, dredging up these memories for us.
Yes, definitely.
Hope it brought you a smile. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one's from Anonymous, and the subject line is Message from Nana through Dolly Parton. Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for all the work you do. My husband and I love your podcast so much. You read my submission a few months ago, mail from an old friend, Freaky Friday 166, and I literally jumped up and down and smiled like a goon when I heard you read it on the show. I have another story for you. This one regarding the recent passing of my Nana. Tuesday of last week, my cousins, brother, and I received a message in the family group chat that my Nana was entering her final stage of hospice and we should find a way to say goodbye. She was estimated to have about a week of time left. My cousins and I said our goodbyes, and we found out from my uncle that very early Thursday morning, my Nana passed. My brother had not been able to say goodbye. Thursday morning, I was driving to school. I teach first grade. And I was thinking about my Nana. When I was a little girl visiting my Nana and Pop-Pops, I'd like to put my Nana's Dolly Parton cassettes in the cassette player and listen to them. So I said, hey Siri, play Dolly Parton on Apple Music. This is where I believed my Nana stepped in. The first song that Siri put on for me by Dolly Parton was one that I'd never heard before. The song was called Joshua, which is my brother's name. This made me laugh out loud. It felt like my Nana was speaking directly to me. actually took a picture of it on my Apple CarPlay screen because I was so surprised. It brought me comfort to think that while I was remembering my Nana, she was thinking of me and my brother. The next song that was played made me break down and cry. I Will Always Love You came on next. And again, it felt like my Nana was sending me and my brother a message. It felt like she was telling me she was okay and that she loved us. It felt like she wanted me to let my brother know the same thing since he wasn't able to say goodbye. Maybe I'm looking for signs that aren't there, but it made me feel comfort and closeness to my Nana. Thanks for reading this. Your episodes are the highlight of my week.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry to hear about your Nana, Anonymous. Coincidence or not, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty strong coincidence, if it is, to play Joshua, which I have also never heard.
Me neither.
And then, you know, of course, the classic I Will Always Love You. But mm-hmm. what a special thing. And even if it was a coincidence, it, like you said, it made you feel comfort. Yeah. It also doesn't sound like a coincidence.
Right. I mean, it's one of those things if you're just like, hey, play this song and it's her most famous song or like the very first song that comes up on like the This Is Dolly Parton playlist yeah. or whatever. But for it to not only be a deep cut, but it's a deep cut that is specifically the name of the family member that you were thinking of that did not get to say goodbye yeah. is when it pushes it to me into more coincident, less coincidental and more inexplicable energetic movement of some kind.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, speaking of Dolly, we can all
oh yes,
rest assured, at least as this is recorded, that she is okay.
Yes.
We all, our asses all fell out of our bodies collectively the other day when her sister, sweet as can be, was like, please pray for my dear sister.
Yeah, dude.
Kidney stones are painful. Luckily, Dolly has made a video since that said, I ain't dead yet.
So good.
She's good.
As a little sister, Dolly Parton's little sister posting, pray for my sister. She is going through it. And then literally setting the world ablaze of people that are like, oh my God, 2025 is going to take Dolly. Only for your older sister to have to come on camera and be like, hi, y'all. I'm still above ground. And not only is she above ground, she looks great always. Like she's yeah. doing fine. I was like, man, that's hard relate. That is some hard relate. Little siblings, particularly little sisters, I don't know why we are like that, but we're like, we can be chicken little sometimes, a little bit.
Well, you gotta, when you're Dolly Parton's little yeah. sister, you know, you when gotta you to have somebody age. Take that phone yeah. away so yeah. you don't send the nation into a tizzy, the I whole was world. Panicked.
And then meanwhile, then Paris sent that, it was a picture of Dick Van Dyke, because I guess he was doing an interview, and they're like, yeah, you're going to turn 100 next month, and on November 18th, he has a book coming out that's like 100 rules to living to 100, and he was like, wouldn't it be funny if I died before then? And I was like, God damn it, Dick Van Dyke, I'll kill you myself.
DVD, we cannot lose DVD and DP.
No, just let
in
him,
the same month. That would DVD. Destroy us.
Yeah, let Dick Van Dyke at least get to his book release. Come
yeah,
on now.
Make it to 100. You've been, yeah. I mean, now, will he sell more if he doesn't? Maybe, but we want to see him see it.
Or are you going to sell fewer because it's like 100 rules for getting to 100? Everyone's like, you didn't even get
but
to 100.
But you didn't do it. And then you got to go through and cross out and say 99 rules on every single publication.
Delete them. Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for sending that in to us, Anonymous. And we're so sorry, like we said, about the loss of your Nana, but I hope she gets to listen to as much Dolly as she wants now.
Absolutely.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this final one is from Deb, and the subject line is the stuff of childhood and maybe sometimes adult nightmares. Hey ladies, longtime listener and parasocial bestie. Thanks for keeping me company all these years and helping me to know that I'm not alone in these wild and crazy times. Anywho, I'll get on with it. When I heard Heather request a cryptid story a few weeks ago, I couldn't help but think of our local cryptid, the Dogman, and with spooky season upon us, I had to share. I live in northern Michigan, and if you know, you know, the Dogman has been a longtime part of our spooky season culture. I grew up in Wexford County, within walking distance of the Manistee River, so this damn thing surrounded me. This will make more sense when you listen to the attached song. While I don't particularly have a first-hand experience to share, I can say that this damn dog man served as my, and I'm sure many others, nightmare fuel throughout my childhood. And the adults around me and my friends had no shame in taking full advantage of it to keep us in line. I remember staying the night at my best friend's grandparents' house and being around the bonfire when her uncles would go out in the woods and sneak around behind us to make noise or scratching at the windows when we were trying to settle in for the night. I mean, as much as adolescent girls do at a sleepover. Not really a great way to get us to sleep, in my opinion. Her grandpa, who was missing part of one of his fingers, would even get in on the action, telling us that the dog man bit it off. So, yeah, that's really all I've got for you. I'm not entirely sure how copyright laws work and all, so I'm hoping you're able to play the song because that's the real story. Enjoy the end. P.S. Pet photos, because I know you love them. Sunny is orange, Luna is the dark, and Olive is the witch. And we will post those cute babies.
My goodness, have I never needed a bearded dragon more than now.
Olive
is dressed like a witch and...
She's beautiful.
Oh my gosh, she's beautiful. This witch costume is everything. Between Olive in the witch costume and Nikki in the wedding gown, these are some great pet picks everyone has sent in this week. Your kitties are adorable too.
They are awesome. Well, you sent us this dog man. I have not listened to this yet.
I've listened to it. And you also sent in a longer length video version, which had even more information, but it's this is the kind of local lore that is so funny. And yeah, you were scared as a kid. I could have been at this sleepover. Like, all the parents I know would have done the same.
Cute. Sorry, go ahead.
All the parents I know would have done the same thing. Scratching, like, you want to know how I lost my finger, kids? The dog man bit it.
You got them both? Like, I gotcha. Well, the legend of the dog man, this, it says it was a local cryptid that was popularized in 1987 by DJ Jack O'Malley
The
production manager Steve Cook of WTCM Radio. The two men, they created the dog man, and I guess this is the song.
We don't have enough Irish DJs, so that's good.
Hell yeah, let's do it. Spooky already.
So the officer and I went out there to take a look at it.
Dramatic.
You know, he just tried to chew in around the doors. And you can see a dog print, you know, alongside the window there.
It's like a paw print.
Yeah, there's a video too. We'll post the links.
It has see this yourself. Oh yeah,
it's images the video of the loose. Paw print.
Because I think it looks like a slideshow. That
he gets
user
to singing.
SLW 69420. I'm sorry, 49620. You guys, hang on a minute. The username is 49620 instead of 69420.
It was already taken.
Boo.
You know it was.
This is. I'm a man. This is almost 6 minutes long. I'm going to fast forward just a little bit and see what we get.
He starts singing.
Was never recorded. In 57, a man of the cloth found claw marks on an old church door.
It's like slam poetry.
It is. It's like slam poetry of all the dogman incidences.
Yeah.
Soon enough, I guess we'll know, because this is the time to fear. Or another 10 years has come around. The seventh year is here.
This is the kind of shit you come across on, this is a local DJ, but it makes me think of Found Footage Festival, or like you would find it on your like public access channel.
Yes.
Oh, well, shout out. True shout out to
we
the
may
DJ.
Have to show some of this video on Sunday Scaries this week.
Yeah, DJ Jack O'Malley.
Somebody put a lot of effort into this, and they need credit.
They need all the credit. Well, yeah, tune into Sunday Scaries, and we'll it can be our final. I'll give it to Paris and have it make it be our final video of the
there
night.
There you go.
We'll end it on the dog man. Thank you for bringing this dog man to us, Deb. We've heard of the dog man, but it's always funnier when it comes along with a personal local like legend of it. And a bearded dragon.
The dog man I hear most about is the one in the books. So yes, this Catman one, I'm going to be like, hey, Ella, you like those Dogman books, right? You want to hear about another Dogman?
Dog yeah. The Dogman. Oh, look at these babies. Look, you got to keep these cats safe because you got the Dogman on the loose.
Oh, man. I could not be more obsessed with Olive. Oh, my gosh. And Olive is just such a great name, too.
Oh, man.
I love her. Tommy had a bearded dragon.
Did man. He?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had a couple of them. Big boy and little boy. And my nephew has one too. They're great.
I love
They're
it.
Great. I don't like to have things in the house that I got to feed real stuff to.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. Live things.
That's where my line is drawn, but they're so cute. And I don't know, I might make an exception if I could dress it up like a witch. So
if it could be as cute as little Olive. Well, Olive needs to watch Season of the Witch because she is dressed as a witch.
Yes.
The bearded dragon. I wonder what the bearded dragon thinks about our live show. But
please, well, let thank us know.
You. Thank you, Deb, for sending this in and for heeding the call of cryptids. And it's that time. I mean, it's always time for cryptids. So anybody else that has weird local lore, please send it our way. We love a cryptid we maybe haven't heard of yet.
Yes. I'm trying to collect a bunch of like Halloweenish spooky stories for the next few Freaky Fridays. So I've got some starred already, but if you've got one, please send it in. Especially if it like happened around Halloween. Those are always fun too.
Yeah. Get us in the mood.
Well, thank you to everybody for sending in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, you've got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online. Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. We'll send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just put in your email, you get immediate access. Plus, you get access to all the free content we have on our Patreon just for free members. So it's a win-win all the way around. You're going to get to see this Legend of the Dogman video this Sunday too.
Yeah, we'll watch it together.
Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where you break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, Unpopular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
Don't forget the October live Q&A is Thursday, October 16th at 8 p.m. Central. It's always the third Thursday. So you can go ahead and register on Crowdcast. The link is on there and we will we'll post a reminder on Patreon. You can go ahead and start putting questions in as well.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Yeah. It's one of the most fun things we do over on Patreon, getting to interact with you all and seeing all the fun questions.
Absolutely. And we also offer free trials where you join for a week, check out all the perks and cancel anytime without getting charged if you cancel before the trial is over. And the week of the live stream for the Q&A is a great time because that's for ruling the airwaves tier and above. So if you do a free trial this week, it's a good time. So you can join the Q&A and decide what tier you want to stick around at. And when you do, you get all kinds of stuff like
ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content. We let you all vote on what you want to see, and then it's live streamed. Weekly audio bonus content. Also, just for those free members signing up for free, you get monthly archived audio bonus content sent to you. You also get mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And don't forget the Season of the Witch Coven tea is flying away this Sunday, October 12th. So get it before the day is over on October 12th. Otherwise, it's gone forever. And that's a message to us too, because we got to get our own, our own shirts.
Note to self. While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone that's left 5 stars and kind words. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, and you'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2025. It is just around the corner, November 3rd through 7th. We're leaving out of Fort Lauderdale. We're coming back. Different people, y'all. We're going to completely shift. It's already in motion from
the
show.
Sea Mag- yeah, and the Sea Magic book. We're going to have to start flipping through that and making notes as well. So we're excited to bring that to you. Go to sinisterhood.com and click live shows and come hang out with us on the ship. You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself, book a cameo now from happy birthday to birth announcements and anything in between. We would love to help celebrate with a custom video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It's a thoughtful gift. You don't have to leave your house. And it's the unique gift you know they don't already have. So go to cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm just all over the place at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.